Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow, joins us now because it is, in fact, Hutton o'clock. Hutton, always appreciate our weekly chats with you. I was just telling Willie and D. Mace, I feel so dejected about this Ravens game after the Colts game. They were just out physicaled. They couldn't run the football. They couldn't stop the run. And then going into a game against Baltimore with one of the best defenses and one of the best run games in the NFL, I need a reason to feel some optimism for this Ravens game.
Yeah, that's kind of like we discuss every other week, right? I mean, it's that type of season for the Tennessee Titans, just when you think they have a chance to get some momentum going, consistency, stack some wins. And by the way, this is the month of October is generally where the teams begin to turn and show who they are. The Titans have happened what they have happened up in Indy. It's a big game for the AFC. I mean, this feels like if it's not one of those pivotal games for the Titans just to turn a corner, It's a wild card positioning type matchup for both organizations and divisions that right now are pretty close to one another in record. Interesting to say the least, given the fact that Baltimore feels like they've handed some games away. Titans feel like they probably feel the same way, given the fact, Caroline, that I think they know what they want to do or what their identity is. They're just not consistently showing us that they can do that week in and week out.
Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow is with us. We heard from Mike Vrabel earlier. He said Jeffrey Simmons and T.R. Tartt would not practice today. Now, it's Wednesday. They still could come back out tomorrow and still could be a full go against the Ravens on Sunday. But what would that mean for this defensive line? Let's say it's out Simmons and Tartt against Lamar Jackson in that Baltimore run game.
Well, it's a different it's definitely a different feel without Simmons, okay? I heard a lot about T.R. Tartt not being in the game last week, and I think that paired with Simmons getting the stinger certainly played an effect. But, man, it was more than just the interior of the defensive line. It's that collective group. In the games where we have made the comparisons of the defensive front to where they were really good 2 years ago, they have won those games. You know, they've been the disruption up front that has helped the secondary. And when they're not a factor, the Titans aren't winning games, period. They're not getting off the field. 83% of the time on third down on their wins, Caroline, the Titans are getting off the field on third down defensively. And when they lose games, it's 50% of the time defensively on third down. And in large part, it's what goes on in the line of scrimmage, the physicality, the trenches. Titans didn't win that up front. The Colts pushed them around. The Ravens are certainly capable of doing the same thing. I think it's a different type of rush, though, with Lamar Jackson, not allowing him to hit the edge and do some things with the legs outside of the pocket instead of collapsing the pocket the way we saw with Joe Burrow, for instance. So it's a different game plan, but the game plan always includes Jeffrey Simmons. They've got to have him.
Now, Hutt, Vrabel did mention – at the beginning of the week after the presser after the game Monday, that there was thoughts of benching Fulton. Do you think that if they have a repeat or some missed assignments by Fulton, do you think they are even capable of benching him?
Oh, you're saying the depth-wise?
Yes, depth-wise.
Yeah, I mean, it's not – I guess the alternative would be, okay, we're taking him out because the eyes continue to be in the backfield. He's getting run over on some of these routes. It was reminiscent of A.J. Brown in Philadelphia and from last year and what we saw from Pittman last week. The quick answer to that is no. The depth is not up to par. It's not up to snuff. And I think the other quick answer, D-Mace, is, man, the D-line and the pass rush has to affect the quarterback enough to help out the secondary. It's not a good situation. The alternative, though, would be, okay, we're getting Fulton out of there because he's a focus of what they're doing. They're going at him, and can it be much worse? Because they're giving up a ton of yards, not points. Mm-hmm. But in in that respect, they couldn't get off the field to get their offense the ball back and even have a chance to, you know, stay on the field. So it's a situation you don't want to be in this early in the season, especially with Fulton in a contract year. I thought this would progress better than what it had, given what we had seen from him this offseason and going into a season where he seemed motivated and ready to prove himself. It's more of the same, and that's the frustrating part. And even more frustrating has to be the fact that, well, while we consider internally the sentiment might be, well, while we consider sitting him down, well, we don't have anyone that's really going to take his spot long term.
In regards to the O-line, now we've discussed, you know, now that Nicholas is back, that there's a potential of Nicholas being inserted somewhere on that offensive line. Judging by what Vrabel said, Hubbard's doing his job on the right side. I don't expect them to do anything this week, considering, you know, it's you know, they're traveling overseas, and it may not be the best thing right now. But do you think after the break, depending on how Dillard plays against the Ravens, that we could see Nicholas at left tackle?
I think it's a possibility, yes. I think he's next man up at either of those spots. I agree. I don't think they want to flip the apple cart on a short week or a shortened week due to travel at the right tackle position. He has played left tackle at Ohio State. And, you know, I once again, the offensive line coming off of how bad things looked in Indy didn't seem to be the main issue. And they can always improve. I think they do want to find a way to get NPF on the field, but they're not just going to insert him back to the lineup at right tackle just for the sake of, well, that was his spot. I think Hubbard's been fine. Now they need to see where they can address the O-line the best, given the fact that they've had some struggles at left tackle with Dillard, but they also don't want to just throw him right back in without getting some practices underneath him, meaning NPF, at left tackle if they're going to work him there more so than not. So I think right now, if one guy were to go down, it's NPF that's next man up at either spot. And I think it's a big evaluation game for Dillard. Yes, I do. And a big game for a lot of those Titans up front.
Jonathan Hutton's with us. All right, Hutt, I'm going to give you an Albert Breer line that caught my attention, has had me thinking all week long. With the collapse of the Patriots, I asked this to Tim Hasselbeck yesterday. He said Albert Breer's assessment, being sort of a New England-based guy who's a league writer, but he said the Bill Belichick formula was to have what he called a middle-class roster with the greatest quarterback of all time, right? And so the greatest quarterback of all time elevates the middle-class roster into a championship team. He said now that you don't have that, it's becoming evident that the middle-class roster that Bill Belichick is still building every year is not good enough. I think about that a little bit with the Titans. Middle-class roster with, instead of Derrick Henry elevating all boats and turning you into a winning team, I see a middle-class roster. So is that wrong? I'm concerned about that. I see a middle-class roster that has to be perfect on the margins to get where they want to go.
Totally. I don't think that's wrong. I see, you know, just using the terminology, the middle-class roster that it sometimes plays even below that, given some of the drops we've seen.
And I think that's going to happen to a lot of – there's a lot of middle-class rosters, right, in the league. That's why there's so much parity.
But the thing, too, you had – in this case, your version of Brady's in the backfield with Derrick Henry, right? And
absolutely. And I don't think he's quite the same – as he was, and this is not a look. They're still, on a given year, are three or four or five loaded rosters, like the Eagles, the 49ers, and, yeah, I guess any team that Patrick Mahomes is on, even though they're not as loaded as maybe they were a couple years ago. But you see where I'm going, right? They don't have that guy that is erasing all the mistakes and elevating the weaknesses, masking the weaknesses.
Well, you also had, you know, the other players around the Patriots that, you know, were middle class, and that was on their worst day. And then they had, like, you know, the Edelmans and others that would step up, and you were just gamers with the biggest plays and the biggest moments.
Sure.
They weren't going to drop the pass.
McCourty. I mean, guys that he relied on that were there year in, year out, that
no
were not superstars, but just good, solid role players, Brewski, Vrabel, you know, guys,
and
guys like
the
that.
Defense, the defense on the other side was always consistent.
Yeah.
You know, like it wasn't one game on, one game off. It wasn't the Patriots could put up 40 points in a game and do that throwing the football. They could then the very next week flip the script and do that running the football. They could run it 40 times and put up that many points, depending on what they needed to do week to week. This Titans offense cannot do that, even with the same type of build. And again, a lot of that is just there's two or three elite quarterbacks in any given season, and the Patriots had that. That's for sure. And the other thing, like they even won games whenever Brady was out. And I think that's also part of the culture and the mentality of what you're building, knowing what you're doing and who you are. And I think in large part, the Titans roster, and just trying to compare the two analogy, the Titans roster is still trying to figure out the footing of we know the Titans way, quote unquote. Can they actually win in the trenches week in and week out? Even if you're playing the elite offensive lines, this Titans defensive front was known for going up against that group and holding its own. And then vice versa, the O-line against the best defensive fronts, they're still going to run the football. And if you're not going to run the football, you're going to stay on the field at a lot higher rate, much higher rate. And maybe the most important point, if pass rosters and teams are going to reach the red zone, the Titans are coming away with points in the end zone, not through the uprights. And that's what they're not doing. They're not scoring the football.
They have to be good in the red zone. There's no question about it. They've got to finish these long drives with touchdowns. All right, so we have our other huge debate, Hutt, this week is Derek and I are looking at the numbers. We're putting it with our eye test. And our assessment is, I'm pulling Derek in as a united front. He may disagree with me on some of this stuff, but I just think it's time for Tajay Spears to have a higher percentage of the carries, not more than Derek Henry, but a higher percentage of the carries that they are using right now, because his numbers are clearly better. And Derek Henry is certainly capable still, as we saw against Cincinnati, of having a great game, but Where do you sit on that? Because this offense needs some explosiveness, and Spears has got some of that.
I want to see a higher percentage of touches. It doesn't necessarily have to be carries for him. They do lack explosiveness. Look, they have 17 red zone drives. That's tied for 11th, and 6 red zone touchdowns. And they on first down, Willie, 887 yards on first down. That's 5th in the NFL, but they're dead last on downs, second, third, and fourth down. Dead last with just under 600 yards of total offense. They have to get the ball into the hands of the skill players that at least pose the threat of the speed, the agility, the quick twitch. I would put all of that in the backfield with what they've added this offseason through the draft. So, with that in mind, yeah, I'm totally fine, especially on a week where Burks isn't in the game, and Chigakonkwo, at least in remaining to this point, has 22 targets. I mean, it's just on the season, it's just a non-factor right now. And he drops another pass this past Sunday. I would just put it in the hands of the identity of the team, and that's got to be Henry. But I'm with you out of the backfield. If you're going to improve the pass game by adding a running back, I would up the percentage of touches while still trying to force the issue with Henry, because again, I think that's the best way and the best path to victory for this offense currently off of play action.
And look, this is where Jonathan Hutton is with us. This is where kind of our conversation started, was I feel like there's a common misconception where it's either Spears or Henry and you have to be on one team or another. Because
not the argument. That's not the argument at all.
Right.
It's how do you divvy up the pie.
I look at it like the Titans have won 2 games this season, and those 2 games, Derrick Henry has gotten the ball 22 times, and the other one, he got it 25 times. So I look at it and say, okay, well, whatever you're doing with Derrick Henry is working. And I understand that not every single game you're able to give Derrick Henry the ball 30 times. Like against the Browns, when you're down 2 touchdowns, running the football isn't necessarily the best path to victory. I look at it like, look, feed the ball to Derrick Henry. Let him be your primary running back, and let Tajay Spears be a really good supplementary piece to that.
Well, the supplementary piece that I think can grow as the as the season progresses, like this offense has to expand in some areas that it does well. They do really, really well in play action. They do, but they have to be in certain downs and get in certain positions where they're able to use that. Tannehill is second in play action yards. He's fifth in play action pass attempts. Tannehill, and I'm flipping it to Tannehill because I think the run game affects the pass game in a large way for this offense. And the pass game can be affected by getting more of Spears involved and Henry. But if Tajay Spears deserves to get more of the percentage of touches just based on what we've seen, and especially just given the fact that you're trying to move the football a bit better than just going to Hopkins every single time between the 20s. We did see the red zone 19-yard score for Spears this past week. So I'm all for seeing the football in his hands. I don't want to do it just to take the football out of Henry's hands. But I think that's more game plan mentality is what we're discussing here. And the game plan should be, where are the threats offensively? There are possession guys. There's Hopkins. There's Henry. And Spears has to be a threat. He's got to be one of their outlets that can move the sticks in a down and distance where you're not really expecting it, where the punter's getting warmed up. That has to be more of a focus moving forward, especially given the fact that they're sitting where they are at a very back and forth rate playing ping pong on the win loss record.
Titans sitting at 2-3 on the season, and Hutton, four of those games, I cannot say that Ryan Tannehill has been the problem, but for some reason, I still hear so many Titans fans, you know, complaining about Tannehill and saying that Tannehill is the problem. Where are you at with Ryan Tannehill right now and his contributions to this team?
I'm fine with Ryan Tannehill right now. The offense was okay. The offense was okay this past week. Good. Not, they weren't great, but I like the way they moved the football. The defense just could not get off the field. And when they got in the red zone, they've got to get touchdowns, period. Nick Folk, the old refrain of Nick Folk's kick is up and good is good, but it's not good enough. And that's where it's really frustrating. It's where things bog down a bit. He's either had and he's still getting he didn't get knocked around all that much this past week. I believe 9 hits, which compared to what we've seen in the first 4 games is an improvement. It's a mark of improvement. It's a check mark. But I don't point to Tannehill. He doesn't come to mind as the top several reasons why this team is where it is. You can go back to week one and say yes, but since then, no issues. And while there are plenty of issues as for consistency, Tannehill to me is further down that list than probably where a lot of fans have him, just because it's the position everyone watches, right? And what we forget to look at are the drop passes, the unforced errors that come with penalties or callbacks that would have resulted in first down yardage based on a catch and throw that Tannehill has made. I'm totally fine seeing what we've seen. And by the way, like that's them doing the offense that they've been doing in past years. It's just this year, going back to Willie's point about Breer making that comparison with the Patriots, I don't think they don't know when they get off the bus week to week if it's going to be consistent or not. And in the past, they felt pretty good about the fact that they were getting off the bus with the offensive line and the run game ready to show up. And then after that, it was up to Tannehill and the receivers to play off of that. Right now, they don't have a way to jumpstart it. And unless they have the engine running to start the game, it doesn't seem like it really gets going.
Last one from me, Hutton. What'd you make of Christian Fulton essentially calling out the refs? Blaming the refs for his 2 PI calls on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. It's be better. This is a league that is set up for the defense to fail. I mean, it's the rules are lopsided in the favor of the offense anyway. The plays I saw, you've got to get turned around. You've got to make a play on the ball, or just not get steamrolled while you get locked up on a route and your eyes are peeking in the backfield. It's got to be better than that, guys. And let's say if Vrabel is considering something with Fulton and maybe looking at a depth chart that isn't good enough to insert over him, that's not because the officials have it out for Christian Fulton. Christian Fulton is trying to come up with an excuse. And I it's human nature to do something like that. But it feels a bit like, and Adoree never blamed the refs, but Adoree had the yips when it came to punt return. And I think there is something to be said about the mental aspect of the game on the outside at that corner spot on an island. And Fulton may have a bit of those right now, just because we're seeing it game in and game out, where it's not nearly as good as it should be given the investment made.
Yeah, how about you just do your job, and then maybe we don't have to bring up the referees.
It's a tough job.
Yeah, hey, I'm not
making excuses for the guy, because there are plenty of players across the league that aren't blaming the refs. But the quarterback position is extremely difficult to begin with, and they made it even more strenuous given the rules. And yeah, Fulton's got to play within that, and the Titans chose to have him be that guy, so he's got to play through it. Vrabel doesn't comment much on the officials. Fulton should be doing it either.
Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Hutton, appreciate you as always. We'll chat next week.
Always enjoy this, guys. You guys have a great rest of the week.
Awesome. Thanks, Hutton. You too. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Now, coming up next, we opened up a can of worms with the show that comes after us yesterday. So we'll respond. Coming up next, Caroline Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Our morning show and our afternoon shows have lost their freaking minds.
All right, so we've lost our minds, according to Jared Stillman.
Well, you were excused from the conversation.
Because I was not the one saying that Tajay Spears is more explosive than Derrick Henry. I was saying, hey, give the ball to Derrick Henry, because when you give him the ball, you win football games. And this is not a Tajay versus Derek conversation. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of that. I'm done with that. I've seen it in our text lines. I've seen it on Twitter of you're either team Tajay or team Derek. And I think that's silly. I think that's dumb. But we were talking yesterday about the healthy balance between Tajay Spears and Derek Henry. In a quick summary, would you like to summarize your feelings, Willie and Derek?
Well, I think I've been looking at a lot of numbers. I've been matching it up with my eye test. I see an offense that really needs explosiveness and somebody who can get you some cheap yards. I see an offense that is averaging 17.6 points per game. It is 2-3. And I look at the numbers and I say to myself, Tajay Spears needs to get the ball more. And I'll go through the numbers in a moment. You just said, give the ball to Derrick Henry and you win. He has gotten the fifth most carries of anybody in the league. And they're 2-3. He's averaging 3.8 yards a carry. He's still capable. But I think it's time to get the ball to Tajay Spears more often. And that does not mean, as Jared was trying to imply, that we're putting Derrick Henry out to pasture.
Paw-paw
out to pasture. He exaggerated to make his point. And look, if you cut through all of the exaggerations that that he's known for, his point is that Derrick Henry still sets things up. Everything goes through Derrick Henry. And on that, I still agree with him on that. And he made the point with Tajay Spears, one of his best runs was set up by they're having the action go towards Derrick Henry.
Fake it.
They reverse it back to Spears, and he goes and scores. Fair point, for sure. And I'm not saying you change your whole offense. Mm-hmm. But the percentage of times you're giving the ball to Henry is not getting you what it used to get you. 3.8 yards. Now, that could carry. That could change. He could hit two home runs in London, mm-hmm. and these numbers look a little different. And that's what he hasn't done so far. He's not hitting the home runs. Spears is getting more done per carry. I'll go through it in a moment. I'm saying, if Derrick Henry is the main course, mm-hmm. and Tajay Spears is the side dish, I want a bigger portion of the side dish.
Yeah, that's all. Two things can live in the same space. Derrick Henry getting his touches and Tajay Spears being more of a focal point of the offense, or being more a part of the offense, whether it be running the football or passing the football. He said, well, when Derrick Henry gets the football, the Titans win. When he doesn't, they lose. Not necessarily. You got to look deep dive. If the Titans capitalize on plays that are wide open
and are winning late in the game, and they're winning late in the game, he gets extra carries late in the game.
If the Titans complete two passes in the New Orleans Saints game, we're not talking about Derrick Henry should have got the ball more because he had 15 carries. Now, he probably ended up having 20 touches, but he had 15 carries. But if they complete one of those big plays, they win. And we're not talking about
– and maybe if you don't turn the ball over.
Exactly.
Just three times.
Yeah, you turn it over twice.
One fewer time.
Yeah.
It could
you
be a
win the game.
Story.
You can win the game. So, yes, Derek being a part of the offense, he must remain a part of the offense. He's their guy that it starts with him, and we want to end the game with him. But in the middle of all that, you need a Tajay Spears. You need him. I don't know why this sort of thought that, you know, if Tajay gets it, then Derek can't, and it's taking shine away from Derek. I just want to win football games. That's so if this young kid is explosive and he gives us another dimension, why not use it? Why not? Because and I told Willie this before, I think before the show, or was it during the show? One of the breaks. I said that I would probably guarantee you that you can use Tajay Spears. I'm not saying he's this guy. He's not. But you can use a Tajay Spears sort of in the same fashion that you can use, that they use Christian McCaffrey in San Fran. He's not Christian McCaffrey, but I guarantee you that if I took Tajay Spears and put him on San Fran's team, we would be marveled by like, wow, this kid is good. It's about how you use him. They can use him in that same same way that San Fran uses him. And it doesn't mean less carries.
Like catching passes?
Yeah, just using him in a more dynamic, because he's a dynamic player. So use him as that. That doesn't mean you have to take carries away from Derrick Henry. We're trying to add as much explosiveness on the field as we possibly can. Because right now, because of injury and because guys are not playing up to the caliber that we thought they were going to play, Chig and Traylon, they don't have that explosiveness. The guy that gives it to him is Tajay. He can give them that. I'm not saying take away carries from Henry. I'm saying implement Tajay more in what you're doing, because when you do that, you see that it works, whether it's having Derrick Henry on the field with them or whatever. Him on the field equals positive things. Him on the field with Derrick equals positive things. I'm not saying take away snaps from Derrick. But add this young guy into the offense a little bit more. Because, again, you don't want to waste the season on a guy and not use him.
Okay,
this was Jared's point. Before we get into your breakdown, this was Jared's point, and we will have your rebuttal.
I have decided that it is no longer Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. It is the Derrick Henry Hater Club and Caroline. Because the two of them talking about Derrick Henry, you would think that the way that they feel about Derrick Henry, as if he has like some sort of honorary role on this team, that the only reason the Titans won't get rid of him and give the ball to Tajay Spears more often is because, well, you know, Derrick was once a really good player for this organization, and we don't want to hurt the old pawpaw's feelings, but I mean, it's hard to watch this bad football now, I'll tell you. That is the sentiment that I have heard over the last 2 hours from our midday show, and I do not think it could be further from the truth. I'm not anti-Tajay Spears. I think Tajay Spears has a role in the offense, but he's a side on the menu. He's not an entree. Derek is the menu. When you win, it's because of Derek. When you have success, it's because of Derek. Your offense is built around Derek. You can't do the same things that you do to win with Derrick Henry. You can't do them with Tajay Spears.
All right, Derrick Henry hater club, your rebuttal.
Okay, they're 2-3. The offense averaged 17.5 points a game last year. And what are they averaging this year, Derek?
17.6 a game.
Okay, so if Derrick Henry is the focal point, it's not good enough right now.
Derrick Henry hasn't been the focal point in 3 out of their 5 games.
Well, Derrick Henry is never the focal point when you get way behind, right? You
but
can't
they
just
way
run
behind
it.
In New Orleans. Okay, and they weren't way behind in Indianapolis.
Again, if you look at the New Orleans games, we're just looking at touches that Derrick Henry had, like carries. We're not looking at the game and what transpired and why they didn't win the game. They didn't win the game because they didn't give Derrick Henry the ball enough. They didn't win that game. We can talk to Vrabel. I guarantee you, and we could talk to the quarterback and
the
receiver.
But the main reason was because Ryan Tannehill threw the ball.
Yeah, they will tell you.
100%. I'm not going
to dispute that. We did not capitalize on opportunities that we had. We had 5 of them. We went 0-for and turned over the ball. That's not a good recipe for winning. That has nothing to do with Derrick Henry touching the football.
And when you get the touches, a lot of times do come when you are ahead late in the game, like they were against Cincinnati, and you pile up yards when the other team's tired, you're running the clock out. That is one way that you get them 23, 25 touches. But let's not focus on that, because I don't disagree with Jared's argument that he's the main dish. He's still the main dish. This is how they built the offense all summer. He's still the focal point of the offense. But I'm talking about the percentage of times. I want more of the side dish. And I don't want Derrick Henry to be the menu. I want him to be the main entree. He's still the main entree. He's going to be the focal point. I want more Tajay Spears as my side dish. So, and here's why. Derrick Henry averages 3.8 yards per carry. Let's start with the basic stats. He's had 86 carries, Spears 27. 3.8 yards per carry for Henry, 5.8 yards per carry for Spears. Success rate, okay? In other words, first down, you get 40%. If it's first and 10 and you get 4 or more yards, that is deemed successful. And I'm looking at profootballreference.com, advanced stats, okay? Second down, you get 60% or more of the required yards. That's successful. Less than that is unsuccessful. Third or fourth down, you got to pick up the first down, whether it's 3rd and 8, 3rd and 1, 4th and inches, whatever. You got to pick up the first for it to be successful. So that factors in the down and distance. Henry's, of the 86 runs, 45%. Have been successful, which isn't bad. Spears is 63%. So let's now take it a little further. Yards before contact. This is our theory, our eye test. Spears hits the hole quicker, which is not a knock at Derrick Henry. He is still a very effective runner, but this is an offensive line that's got issues, right? Yards before contact per attempt. There are 57 running backs in the league that have 20 or more carries. 57. Derrick Henry ranks 43rd in the league in yards before contact per attempt. So that's before anybody touches. So that has a lot to do with the line, what's open, is the play there. He is 1.8 yards per attempt before contact. The number one guy in the league is Akinney. I don't know if Dolphins guys even count, because they've been so lights out. I think sometimes there's just no defense there. But he's off the charts. Breece Hall, 4.1. DeAndre Swift, 4.0. Connor. So I'm just giving you a reference point. 1.8 is way down there. So you can say, well, that's the offensive line. The offensive line is good. Spears is 2.7 with the same offensive line. That ranks 18th. Way higher. Now, here's the other thing. Now, Derrick Henry should be, after contact, he breaks tackles. He moves the pile, right? That's where he should be better. Derrick Henry averages 2.0 yards per carry after contact. 17th in the league. Not bad. Number one is Akinney from Miami and that alien offense they've got going. 5.0, which is off the charts.
Yeah.
Jaleel McLaughlin, 3.9 is second. Breece Hall, 3.1. Fourth in the NFL of ball carriers who have carried it 20 times or more is Tajay Spears with 3.0. So Tajay Spears is getting more yards per contact or after contact than Derrick Henry. He is, and in the breaking tackles category, Henry has 4 on 86 carries. Spears has 3 on 27 carries. So I look at those numbers and I'm saying Spears should get the ball more. I'm not saying Derrick Henry should be replaced by Spears or anything close to it. But those numbers for an offense that is desperate to find another level, I want to see more Tajay Spears with the ball.
One question that I would have is not just comparing the two, but comparing Derek's advanced stats this season versus last season and the year before and in 2020. Because I know that, you know, every, you know, website's going to be different. I didn't know what website you were using. One website that I'm using with advanced stats has Derrick Henry yards after contact average 3.2 in 2023. In 2020, it was 3.6, and that was in his 2,000-yard season. So that's not that far off. That's not that different. So I'd be interested to see, like, year over year, because if it's 3.6 yards after contact, but you're getting 2,000 yards a season and your offense is running through Derrick Henry, well, I'll take that. If the numbers are along the same lines as the best season that he's had. And I'm not going to deny that Derrick Henry is not the same Derrick Henry that he was in 2020. I think anyone can see that. Just watch games. He's getting caught from behind more now than he used to, which was essentially never. And I'm not going to deny that. I'm not going to deny that Tajay Spears is an incredibly explosive player. But I don't want to lose sight of the fact that this offense still runs through Derrick Henry, and you still win games when Derrick Henry gets the football, and Derrick Henry still poses a threat that's more threatening than probably any other player on this team. But let's continue the conversation coming up next and back into your phone, 615-737-1025. Caroline Willie, D. Mace, 1025, 1063 The Game.
So here's a sample of what the Midday Show was saying. And by the way, Derek asked me today, he said, hey, can we just agree to disagree? And I said to that, no. Here's a sample of what they were saying on the Midday Show. Here's Derek's take.
The guy has done so much for a period of time in his career. And then all of a sudden you start to see the decline a little bit, and then you have this fresh guy comes in. People don't want to let go to what's been working, even though they see at times there's a decline. And in this is a perfect example of it. But then people have the excuse of, well, the offensive line. Well, the offensive line is the same offensive line Tajay Spears is running behind. Derrick Henry is still a good runner in this league. He will remain a good runner as long as he stays healthy. But Tajay gives them that explosiveness. This game is about speed. No longer from the running back position. It's not so much power. If you got speed and power, which Tajay has, Derek has lost a little bit of that. He can't get to those holes the way Tajay can.
All right, that was D-Base yesterday.
The numbers back it up. The numbers I just gave you back exactly what he said up.
And again, it's knowing that you have a younger, more explosive doesn't mean you are a better player. More explosive is something different. Like once you get through there, you have the ability to go. That doesn't make you better than a Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry he's lost a little bit of that. And I've said that, and I will stand on it because that's what I'm watching. But I also will stand on he's still a good back in his league. He's still a good runner in his league. Like, he's not what he used to be, but he still is capable of doing the things that you need him to do, like grinding out the game, getting those tough yards. He may break one every now and then.
And setting up things for the rest of the offense with play action.
And also saying that he's not what he used to be. That's saying that he's not a 2,000-yard back.
Exactly. That's all I'm saying.
And that's fine. Like I said, that Derek can be a 1,500-yard back. That is still an elite running back in this league.
But he was last year, and they were not a good offense. They were a bad offense.
They still were.
Last year.
But this game is about
that on Derrick Henry.
No, you don't put on him, but the offense has to get better. How does it get better?
This league is about explosive individuals and explosive plays. Yeah, you will have teams that every once in a while grind it out. you know, the Titans have had their share of grinding it out series. You know, other teams, we saw the Indianapolis Colts this past weekend. They grinded out that last series versus the Tennessee Titans. But if you're going to be one of those offenses that is, you got to have that explosiveness. The Titans right now, as a whole, it doesn't seem like they have that explosiveness. They have individuals that may give them that Tajay Spears, but if you're gonna score points in this league, or better yet, if you're not going to be one of the teams that have explosive players on offense, you better have a historically dominant defense. And the Titans don't have that. They've had that before. Now, they came damn close a couple of years ago to being one of those defenses. And we saw what happened. It led them, you know, to having a number one seed and everything else. But if you don't have that explosive guy, look at all the teams that are the upper echelons team this year based on their record this year. Miami, explosive players all around the board. You just name them. They got so many, I can't even name them all. Kansas City, they got a few explosive players. They got more, but they just hadn't showed up. Who else? Buffalo. They got explosive players on their team. The teams that we talk about that are at the top of the San Fran, explosive plays, explosive players. Philly, explosive players. When we talk about the upper echelon teams, we don't talk about teams grinding it out. We talk about teams that have explosive players. If you don't have that explosive player, it's hard for you to grind it out every game and score points. That's what the Titans need. They need – Derek was that explosive guy. Now he's more of that grinded guy that he's going to push the pile, and he's going to break one or two every once in a while.
I think we saw that explosiveness against Cincinnati.
That's the only one.
Exactly, but that's it from a running standpoint. Now he's had some you know, some screen plays that have went for yardage, mm-hmm. but from the running back position – we don't see those explosive plays we used to see. And yeah, we can blame it on the offensive line, but Tajay is getting them. And I'm not saying take away from Derek to give Tajay. I'm just saying add Tajay in more. That's not taking away from Derek.
I'm saying take some carries away from Derek Henry and add more for Tajay. Derek still gets the most carries mm-hmm. by far. He's still the focal point. But if it's 86-27 now, I'm saying if you take 10 less for Derek and 10 more for Tajay, just to start, and you get the same numbers you've been getting, that's going to be better for the offense. If the numbers hold, now that's only five games, maybe not. My theory is, it's like Derek said, they've got to find a way to get more explosiveness in this offense. It's not happening right now.
Let's get into your phones on this. Rick is on the line with a thought on Derek Henry. What's up, Rick?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. One thing I don't believe you have factored in is every time Derrick Henry gets the ball, which is usually on first downs, he's facing an eight or a nine-man front every single time. So that's something that he has to run against all the time. When Tajay comes in, it's more of a spread offense, and, you know, he breaks one guy and he's gone. And the other thing that I'm
so maybe they should give it to Tajay more based on what you're saying.
Not necessarily. I'm just saying.
So you think it's good to run Derrick Henry into the big box and get 2 yards?
No. What I'm saying is, when you look at those stats, I think they're skewed as far as looking at it. Is that Derrick's ability, or that's just how all the defenses are playing him?
Well, okay. Spears is getting more yards per carry before contact and after contact.
He's getting more yards without running into the same amount of players.
I don't.
They got 11 players over.
Yeah,
there.
He's not running against a nine-man front.
Okay. Let me say this.
You shouldn't run against a nine-man front.
If you're running against a nine-man front, you need to check out of it and throw the football.
Yes.
Because there's only two people left.
And nobody's running in a nine-man front. Right, they're doing well on play action. Of course, statistically, they are better as a play action. And that's the argument of Derek is setting things up for his teammates. And that's fine.
Thanks for your call, Rick.
Yeah. Thank you, Rick. We appreciate you. We really do appreciate your call, Rick. And I wasn't trying to be combative with you. But when you have nine, if essentially it's a nine-man front – then I'm blaming it on Ryan Tannehill, and I'm blaming it on Tim Kelly, because there should be a check out of that. You got one-on-one on the outside. We need to go up top. But they're not going against a nine-man front unless it's like goal line. Then, okay, we are. But they're usually going against, you know, eight-man front. Yes, the Tennessee Titans, every team in the league, their first course of action is to stop the run, make you one-dimensional. We want to make you one-dimensional because we feel we have a better opportunity to stop you via pass, because now our guys can pin their ears to the back and get to the rusher. Every team thinks that way. Now, having Derrick Henry makes you really concentrate on, hey, listen, we need to make sure that he doesn't have the ball before we do anything else. But my thing is, Tajay, it's not like they're taking people off the field when Tajay's in the game. Like, okay, we're going to play against seven. We're going to play with seven guys and let Tajay run the football. They're running against the same type of front. The offensive line needs to be better in all of it. But again, Derrick Henry, for me, this is just for me, he's the guy that there's the grinder. He's the guy that I want to give the ball to in the fourth quarter and let him grind it out. But unfortunately for the Titans, they haven't been in that position to grind it out. That's what they want to do.
Yeah.
But they hadn't been in that position.
And I would say, yes, they're running behind the same offensive line, but I wouldn't always agree with it. They're running in front of the same fronts. Because if Derrick Henry and Tajay Spears are both on the field, Derrick Henry is going to get a majority of the looks from the defense. That just the threat of Derrick Henry being there can elevate everyone else, because that brings attention to Derrick Henry and off of whoever else is on the field, whether that's Tajay Spears, whether that's Chigakonkwo, whether that's Chris Moore, whether that's DeAndre Hopkins, whoever it might be. And I don't know. I'll have to go back and, hey, we can do this. I'll go back and watch every snap that Tajay Spears has had an explosive
We can do that during play. The bye week. We can do that we'll after do, yeah, the London
game. That is a
London
project
game.
For me, yes. During the bye. Is I will look back at every Tajay Spears explosive play versus non-explosive play. Every time Tajay Spears has been on the field, every time Tajay Spears touched the football. How many of those explosive plays have come with Derrick Henry on the field? And how many times has Tajay Spears had a non-explosive play with Derrick Henry off the field? But let's get right back into your phones on this coming up next, because we've got some passionate listeners. So we're right into that coming up next. D-Mace, safe travels across the pond.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yes, I will call in from over there so you still hear my voice.
Well, good, because we're going to need it to get us through this week. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.